This Next Realm podcast is presented by Roback Activewear. From performance polos to the performance hoodies and the performance Q-zips, Roback is the best fit and the best fill. Use code TNR20 at Roback.com for 20% off your first order. That's R-H-O-B-A-C-K.com. 20% off all polos, hoodies, and Q-zips with the code TNR20. And make sure to check out the Roback print polos. They have you feeling good all year round.
ESPN's Buster Olney joins us each week on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline, courtesy of MyBookie.ag. Don't forget code NEXTROUND when you go there to get that sign-up bonus up to $1,000 at MyBookie.ag. Hello, Buster. How are you?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, Christopher Morel is one of those guys that when you meet him, the energy just oozes off of him. And I don't mean to compare him to one of basketball's greatest players of all time, but the way that he seems to attack each day does remind me of a young Magic Johnson. You guys remember that Magic Johnson's first game in the NBA, there was a pass to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He hits an 18-foot skyhook. They beat the Clippers. And Magic, playing his first NBA game, leapt into Kareem's arms. And when they got back to the locker room, Kareem told Magic, "Look, youngin, we got 82 games to go, and you just can't react that way." And Magic's response was, "Hey, if you hit that same shot 81 more times, I'm going to keep jumping into your arms." That's how Morel plays, which is unusual. As you guys know in baseball, where players don't trust, you know, that sort of emotion, because there's so much failure, there's so many ups and downs, but Morel just comes at you. He's fun to watch.
So he was called up, and in his first few games, he was hitting home runs. It had people looking up stats. The one I thought he was chasing was the one I read was Mike Schmidt of 1976 hitting a home run in 11 of his first 12. What do you think of his skill set as he becomes a guy Cubs fans are sort of banking the future on?
Yeah, the question's going to be, what position can he play? Because by all accounts, you talk to evaluators of the teams, he's someone who's not really good in any particular position, but maybe he becomes, Doug Glanville, who my colleague at ESPN, who does games for the Cubs on television, you know, he brought up the name of Chris Bryant, who for years, you guys remember, they would put him in third base one game, they put him in right field, they put him in left field. I think Morel, in this day and age, when there's so many injuries and teams are attuned to players' rest, like, he's a great guy to have on a team because you move around day by day. And you know this, when you call his number, whether it's for a 1 o'clock, sleepy 1 o'clock game on a Thursday or a, you know, night game in Wrigley Field, he's going to be fired up to play.
ESPN's Buster Olney is with us on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline. He's presented each week by MyBookie.ag, code next round. MyBookie.ag, code next round. Buster and the gang will be in Atlanta coming up Sunday for Braves and Phillies on ESPN. And listen, I know a lot of Braves fans around here, Buster, and almost to a man, they understand that the way they're having to handle their pitching staff is injury related, but they also do not feel like it is sustainable. And there seems to be a lot of concern the way Brian Snitker has approached having to deal with these pitchers' injuries.
And by the way, I've told you this, my son is a huge Braves fan. He complains to me all the time about these decisions. I agree that they're trying to buy time, you know, Max Fried coming back. Mike Soroka, based on my conversations with Alex Anthopoulos, they had a baseball ops for them. They feel like Soroka is now an option if they want to reach down. It does feel like they're playing the long game a little bit and also anticipating at some point they're going to go into the marketplace and get some help. The one thing I continue to hear, you know, they feel good about Max Fried and the possibility he's going to come back relatively seamlessly given the nature of his injury. They're confident he's going to be a factor this year. And I tell you what, I mean, we got Spencer Strider pitching on Sunday Night Baseball, and you got Bryce Elder throwing great. An ERA just over 2 so far. You got Charlie Morton. If you get Max Fried, I think by the end of the year, their rotation will be in good shape.
Everybody in the American League East has a better record than everybody in the American League Central, except the Blue Jays and the Twins have the same record. Is there a point in the future as we change the scheduling model, more interleague play, more balanced schedule, not so heavy on divisions, that you foresee that we do away with divisions, that we just get away from that and we just play American League, National League, and we build a playoffs that way?
No, I don't think so. I think that what you're going to see is once they add these two expansion teams, let's say it's in 3 years, they identify Nashville and let's say they identified Salt Lake City as the other team, you're going to see baseball go like an NFL style where you're going to have eight divisions of four teams. I've gotten no sense of momentum where you're going to go pure, you know, like the way it was before 1969, where you had the American League, all the teams, you know, 10 teams, National League, 10 teams. I don't think that's going to happen. And there's no doubt that now that you have this, the more of a balanced schedule, I mean, that's helping the teams in the American League East, the toughest division in baseball. Beginning of this week, think about these numbers, guys. The run differential for the American League East was plus 225. The second best division for run differential was plus 8. Like, the American League East is dominating the sport like we haven't seen before. And the hard thing is, especially now, if you're the Red Sox, you're the Blue Jays, you're the Yankees, you know this is like a game of musical chairs. One of those five teams is not going to make the playoffs, and probably two of the five teams are not going to make the playoffs, especially as Texas, Houston sort of begin to, you know, separate themselves a little bit in the West.
Yeah, and people would say, you know, I want the best teams in the playoffs, and like the Buccaneers last year in the NFC South, they were not right. One of the better teams, but they were a playoff team. But it does keep, like in the American League Central right now, I would imagine that keeps a lot of fan interest, at least for that division race, to have a spot in the playoffs, as opposed to those teams likely starting to dwindle in attendance throughout the summer. Is that right? Is that why they would do that?
You're 100% right. Look at the Cleveland Guardians, for example. When you and we saw them on Sunday night last week, they were playing the Mets. That is an awful lineup. Like right now, they're struggling to score runs, and yet they may have a better chance to win their division than, say, the Boston Red Sox, because the division is so forgiving. And so as the Guardians make the assessment, do we trade Shane Bieber, who I think will wind up being the most prominent player traded before the deadline? You know, they can factor in the context of their division, which is so important.
Buster Olney with us each week on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline. He joins us courtesy of MyBookie.ag, code next round, MyBookie.ag, code next round when you sign up there. It seems like it was only a couple of weeks ago that on this set, it wasn't one of your appearances, but it was just in random conversation. I think the question came up, how many times, if ever, have the Yankees been in last place on Memorial Day? And they were trending that way, and something has changed, Buster. I know they lost last night. But up until then, they had been the hottest team in the major leagues over the last 10, 12 games.
Yeah, and I think what changed is they got Aaron Judge back, right? When he's on the field, he's like their Superman, you know, providing all that, not only the power, not only the defense. He's an excellent base runner, but also the leadership. It's amazing that a team like the Yankees, with all that payroll that they have, and they bring in stars, you know, a guy like Giancarlo Stanton when he's on the field, or Gerrit Cole, DJ LeMay, who's a really good player. But it's remarkable how much, despite all the big names, they lean on Judge. And you hear behind the scenes, like, he is a true leader in terms of his investment in each game, and that helped weather them get through that stretch. I remember in the middle of that, when they were losing and the fan base was starting to lose its mind, you know, Brian Cashman, their general manager, held a meeting with the reporters. And I talked to him on the phone right after that, and he said, you know what, I've been through this many times before. When we get injuries, they ask about our medical staff. They ask about what the problems are. He said, when we get Judge back, when we get other guys back, we think we're one of the best teams in baseball. And other than blowing that lead to Baltimore last night, that's what we've seen the last couple of weeks.
We're about to watch Toronto and Tampa Bay preseason. I picked the Blue Jays to win the World Series. They seem like they've been that team waiting to break out for the last 4-3-2 last year, and now they're, you know, in last place in the division, in that tough division. What's keeping Toronto from getting over the hump and meeting some of that young potential?
And by the way, I made the same mistake last year that you apparently may have made this year. I picked the Blue Jays to win the World Series last year. look, and it's interesting. I had a conversation the other day with a longtime exec. You guys would know who he is. He said, when you're looking at Toronto now, because for years we looked at, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette, these young guys coming up together, you thought they're going to have a window of opportunity. Well, you know what? They're kind of almost halfway through that, because Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero, trending toward free agency. They're not signed to long-term deals. Just watching them play, it does feel like that they're incredibly inconsistent on offense. You know, last year, Bo Bichette struggled offensively, defensively for a lot of the year. He finished great, This year, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has had some real ups and downs, maybe some nagging injuries. They just look like a team that just hasn't put it all together yet. And by the way, I will tell you this. There are folks with other teams who also, you guys remember it was Dylan Brooks of the Grizzlies about a month ago who was talking smack to LeBron James. And everyone was like wondering, who are you? There is a feeling among other teams, like the Blue Jays talk a lot of smack for a team that really hasn't done that much in the postseason.
Tripp wants us to ask you, I feel like we talk about this team every week and they do nothing to earn it, but he wants us to ask you, what do you project the A's win total to be? They've only got 10 and we're beyond the quarter pole, so...
Well, at least
40 is in play.
I mean, it was a big day yesterday, though, right? Because Las Vegas, Nevada, and the A's organization reached an agreement. So that was the last hurdle that definitely gets them to Vegas, right?
Well, we'll see. I mean, my personal rule after watching 30 years of Oakland ballpark situations is until someone puts a shovel in the ground, I'm not going to believe it. Because we heard about agreements in Fremont and other places, you know, and it didn't come to pass and no one put a shovel in the ground. So I'm going to hold off and wait for that. But look, if you're Oakland and you're having the type of, hey, ownership is probably like, let's go big. You know, let's not only be really bad and cut our payroll to nothing. Let's have the worst team in the history of baseball, because that's what we're looking at. The worst team, I think, generally speaking, that people have ever seen, the 1962 Mets, or an expansion team, went 40-120. Their run differential was like -337. Oakland right now in their current trajectory, you guys know they're going to wind up winning like 30 to 35 games.
What?
Their run differential is going to be over -500. Okay. So it's not even going to be close. I noticed this morning they've given up already almost 100 runs more than the next closest team in terms of what their pitching staff has done. Sometime in the next week, they're going to go over -200 with run differential. That's insane when we're talking about the month of May.
Yeah, to Buster's point, Kansas City and Colorado have given up 271 runs, okay? Oakland's given up 364.
Wow.
I mean, that's incredible.
But
incredible.
In the movie, though, this is about where Willie Mays Hayes beats out a bouncer and something clicks and the team gets hot, though. So we'll see what happens.
But you need Willie Mays. I mean, right now, Oakland would probably take Willie Mays Hayes, even at this age, 30 years after Major League.
You know? What is your favorite part? You got Braves, Phillies in Atlanta Sunday night. What's your favorite part about coming back to the Deep South where you went to college? In Nashville?
Well, I always bump into people, always get a chance to talk to people. You know, guys who played at Lipscomb University, I know some of them. They live in the Atlanta area. I was going to reach out to Jackie Cowan, who was like a basketball legend at Vanderbilt that I covered when she was there and I was there. I just love to catch up with people, you know? I mean, you mentioned the roots. It always feels like the three or four people that I get to see every year, and that's so much fun coming back down. And the Braves are truly one of those teams that are fun to watch. They're fun to be around. And that's been the case for a long time because they've always had really good clubhouse culture, you know, from the days of, Glavin and Smoltz and Chipper Jones on through this year. You walk in there and it always feels like there's a fun conversation with someone like a Charlie Morton or, for me, you know, Kyle Wright, another Vanderbilt guy. Yeah.
You could have flown to Birmingham and caught a Vandy baseball game. I mean, the schedule actually worked out perfectly, Buster. I wish we had done that.
Yeah, I should have done that, huh?
Yeah. And they won last night. They beat Auburn last night, Vandy. Yeah,
it was one
six
in the morning.
6-4. Yeah. 6-4, baby.
1 in the morning. It's a good time when you're in Atlanta to go ahead and start, meet up with Dale Murphy, start writing those stories to push him over the top for the Hall of Fame. Buster kicks it off right now. # get Dale in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. All right, so see them Sunday night as the Braves take on the Phillies. That game is on ESPN Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Buster and the entire gang there. Thank you very much for the time, Buster. Always great talking with you.
All right, guys. Great to talk with you.
All right. Safe travels. Buster with us on the Johnston RVCenter.com hotline. He joins us each week courtesy of the great folks at MyBookie.ag, where you can play that Braves game Sunday night. MyBookie.ag. Code next round to get signed up. Code next round to get signed up with MyBookie.ag.